Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung here at Broadcast Central, not in Chattanooga, but in Washington, D.C., the nerve center for the political world. And we're here to produce a new documentary, which is going to be entitled The United States in Bible Prophecy. We were over at the White House yesterday. By the way, as I was walking up to the White House, you might have seen a tweet put out by Snoop Dogg. He was standing there, actually sitting on a bench, and they were doing some filming. So I stopped instead of going across in front of him. And when I stopped, he said, no, come on walking. It'll make the video look better. And I turned a little bit sarcastically and said, well, I am pretty good looking, aren't I? And he said, yeah, and especially that hairdo. It's amazing. And it went viral. So a little side story, some of the inside baseball as we're doing this production here in Washington. Pray for us as we put it together. By the way, I did not use Snoop Dogg in the video, but instead went to the White House, went over to the Capitol building, went over to Jefferson Memorial, had just a very great day of production yesterday. And we want you to be able to anticipate getting a copy of this and learning from the Word of God as we produce it here in Washington, up at Plymouth Plantation in Boston, in Massachusetts, and also at the end of the week we go over to New York City. Just asking you now to pray for our production as we put it all together. Well, let me get to David Dolan. David, a lot to talk about in the Middle East. That's where you are knowledgeable of what's going on. The Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, has hailed the historic Iran sanctions. In fact, I bet he is happy about the reimposing of the sanctions on Iran.
Well, he is, Jimmy, but I think I've stated before that Israel would be happiest if Iran were its friend, and that it were not declaring that it would destroy Israel every other moment and making all these sorts of statements. We had the Nation of Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan, in Tehran this week saying that Israel is goading the United States into a war with Russia and over Syria, and, you know, the tensions remain very, very high. But the oil sanctions definitely are crippling Iran, and, of course, the Israelis are happy in the sense that they hope this will eventually lead to a moderation in Iran's policy. But in the meantime, the developments on the ground certainly don't look like that, Jimmy. And we have this Pentagon communique, hardly reported in the world, by the way, last Sunday. It came out on a Sunday, revealing that F-22 Raptors had been flying deep into Syria, as the statement said, and that they had tested what was called enemy fighters and surface-to-air missile systems. Well, enemy fighters, that would be Syrian, Iranian, and Russian jets that are all operating in Syrian territory. The F-22s flew deep into the territory, said the statement, to test this. Well, the Israelis are said to be counting on these U.S. planes to open the skies again once more for them to fly into Syria and hit Iranian targets and do this sort of thing. That came after the president's special envoy, James Jeffries, said that Russia had been permissive, he said, in consultation with the Israelis about Israeli strikes against Iranian targets in Syria. And he said, we hope that that approach will continue. Well, this came one day after the Pentagon announced that the Raptors have been there. So, you know, again, the Israelis are glad that the United States is standing much more with them. It's clear that the Trump administration is much more supportive of Benjamin Netanyahu and is indeed ready, apparently, to engage in combat against Russia, even if needed, certainly Iran and Syria, if needed, and that to allow the Israelis to once again operate over the Syrian skies. Again, Jimmy, they don't want to be up there. They want to be at home. They want quiet. They want peace. They don't like to see the Iranian people suffer, which they are suffering once again under these sanctions. So happy isn't the right word, but they are content. They are reassured, let's put it that way, that the U.S. is on Israel's side as we could be on the very steps of a major war in the region.
You know, as we talk about this scenario, I kind of understand much better now an opinion piece that I read from one of the Israeli papers that the terrorists are smelling blood and is basically was looking at the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but it's looking at Syria and Iran and Russia and on down the line, is it not, as it relates to the smelling of blood, the Israeli blood that they want to destroy ultimately?
Well, Jimmy, they're all intertwined, basically because Iran has intertwined them. They have come to the aid of Hamas and especially Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip. And as we've been talking about, these 6.5 months of violence, mainly inspired by Iran, they are the ones that fund and continue to arm the Hezbollah major militia force, really a small army in Lebanon, and as we've been talking about, upgrading their rockets to precision-guided rockets. They're the ones that are in Syria, aiding the Syrian regime against its enemies, and meanwhile moving forces to the south, moving their allied Iraqi Shiite forces to the western border with Syria, not far from Israel. This is the area, by the way, Jimmy, that Israeli reports said this week that Russian special op forces have showed up once again. They were pulled out of the country, supposedly, by Vladimir Putin early this year. Once again, they're back with the Syrian army. That's a threat to Israel. So they all seem to be smelling blood there. And, Jimmy, I'm hearing that after this international gathering this Sunday for the 100th anniversary of the end of World War One, that is the period after that where an explosion could occur in the region. They didn't want to do anything, I've been told, before this international gathering, especially since Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, and Benjamin Netanyahu will all be attending the ceremonies in Paris, along with many, many others. Of course, the Russians canceled a meeting between Putin and Netanyahu that was thought to take place at that meeting. They said that will not happen, so the relations between Israel and Russia continue to sour. The tensions are high, and boy, everybody seems to be smelling blood. Again, the Israelis don't want this. They don't want violence from Gaza. They don't want forces gathering in the north from various countries, but this is the reality, and they have to deal with it. And once again, they are very glad that they have a leader in the United States that seems to understand their situation and be willing to stand with them. Although, boy, you can just predict the uproar in America that will happen if the U.S. does back Israel strongly. There will be a lot of opposition to that from the Democrats and others, I'm afraid.
As a student of Bible prophecy, both David and I are students of Bible prophecy, I can see a scenario playing out to fulfill all of the pre-written history, basically, by the ancient Jewish prophets of what's going to happen in the very near future, as far as we're concerned, where the Jews are going to be killed, many of them. It says in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8, 2 out of every 3 Jews will be killed. That will be worse than the Holocaust during World War II. But there is a statement now coming out of a think tank in Israel and from the rabbis. I've been hearing the rabbis talking about it, that replacement theology is the crux or the foundation or the basis for all of anti-Semitism on the growth, i.e. the recent attack at the synagogue there in Pittsburgh, attacks on the Jewish community and synagogues in the European Union. And David, you have lived so long in Israel, I'm sure you've run into those who are into replacement theology. Just give a quick statement about replacement theology, and do you think this is a part of the plan for the end times coming together?
Well, Jimmy, it basically says that the church replaced the Jewish people, that Christians replaced the Jewish people in God's plans and purposes. He no longer wants a sovereign Jewish nation. He's no longer favoring them as his chosen people, this sort of thing. This has been taught really since Constantine in ancient Rome declared himself a Christian and started to move the church away from its Jewish roots. You could say that Islam has a replacement theology, but they don't acknowledge that the Jews were ever fully God's people. They say they did have prophets and that, but the aim was to bring Muhammad in, and so now the Muslims are the top dog and the Jews are no longer anything at all. So this did lay the basis for a lot of actions over history. It still is in existence. It's still taught in many Christian colleges and seminaries today, and it definitely has led to anti-Semitism and played a big role in the rise of Hitler, as it will, I believe, in the rise of the final world leader that you and I know as the Antichrist and the Bible calls the Antichrist.
And this is so true in the light of the fact that this world's becoming the stage where the end time scenario will be played out. All the actors moving into place, everything about to begin as foretold in the prophetic word of God. David, thank you so much for your insight as it relates to replacement theology and how we need to stand with the Jewish people because God does have a plan for them. But your entire report on the Middle East, very informative. We always appreciate it so much. Thank you, my good buddy, and we'll talk again next week.
Glad to do it, Jimmy. God bless.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I've got John Rood, who's standing by. He has a European Union update for us. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.